The reading is from John 1, verses 1 to 9, and can be found on page 1063. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man, was coming into the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Great, we'll have a look at those verses in just a moment. So you might want to pop your notice sheet in there or something to save the page, to save a bit of time later on. We're going to sing, first of all, Light of the World, You Step Down into Darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Let's stand and sing. We pray as we spend time in your word now that we would come to know Jesus our Saviour more and love him more. In his name we pray. Amen. Please take a seat. I love the story of a little girl whose dad asked her, "What do you want for Christmas?" And she said, "Oh, I'd like to have a little brother for Christmas, Daddy." And it was just so that happened, that on Christmas Eve, Mummy came home from the hospital holding a new baby son. Next year, when Dad asked the same question of his daughter, "What do you want for Christmas, darling?" Remembering what had happened the previous year, the little girl replied, "Well, Daddy, if it won't be too uncomfortable for Mummy, I'd quite like a pony." What do you want for Christmas? It's a question that conjures up so many happy memories for me in my own mind. My parents would ask me that question, and that would herald the start of the excitement leading up to Christmas Day. I remember getting so unbelievably excited about Christmas, the decorations, the tree, and the excitement of Christmas morning, starting with the stocking and then heading down to the tree later on. Always so much fun. These days, I find it hard to get excited about Christmas in mid-November. And I know that for some people, it's not something that it's looked forward to with quite as much relish as that. It can be a horribly lonely time for some. Memories aren't always great at this time of year. But on our Sundays from now, we're starting our slow build-up to Christmas. As we look at this passage in 1 John, which for so many people is a classic Christmas reading. And I think it's asking and answering for us lots of big questions, and four in particular that strike me this morning looking at this passage. How do you know God exists? What is the meaning of life? Why is the world in such a mess? And how can I know God? Four great questions, the kind of questions that people do wrestle with and ask. And Christmas addresses these four questions. And I hope that we'll discover this and much more besides over these weeks leading up to Christmas. So let's look at John 1 again for our first question. How do you know that God exists? It's a great question, isn't it? Look at verse 1 with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God with God in the beginning. Bertrand Russell, philosopher, the great philosopher, once asked what he'd do if God proved to have been there after all. He's an atheist. He said that he would ask God why God hadn't given more evidence of his existence. And for Bertrand Russell, he lays the blame firmly at God's door. He says, "It's not my fault if I don't believe. If God really is God, if he's that big, that clever, that awesome, well, why doesn't he reveal himself to me?" And that's exactly what he did at that first Christmas. Even before Christmas, there was loads of evidence for the existence of God. But that first Christmas time, he disclosed himself once for all in the most unmistakable way. Verse 1. In verse 1, God calls Jesus the Word. In the beginning was the Word with God. At the beginning. And then in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now that's an awesome claim about Jesus. That he's not just a man, not even just an exceptional man. He's not just a good man, a holy man, or a prophet, or a guru. But that he existed before the beginning of time. And that's the claim here that John introduces his gospel with. That he is the creator, if we read verse 3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And this is the astonishing truth about Christmas. God, the creator of the universe, stepped into the world, into this planet. Look at his life. Study his actions, and you'll see unmistakably God walking about plainly on earth. And that's how we know that God exists. He came to bring us friendship with God. Our world, so much of it, doesn't it, lives as if behind it was nothing. But behind it was the Word of God. I wonder if you recall the Bupa advert. There are a number of variations on it, but it went something like this. Your heart beats around 100,000 times a day. Your bones are as strong as cast iron. You give birth to 100 million blood cells a day. Your brain is the most complex structure known to man. Your eyes can distinguish 1 million color surfaces. You have 60,000 miles of blood vessels in your body. Your skin is constantly replacing itself. You are amazing. You are. And John 1 verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And that includes people that you love and people who are kind enough to love you. And this God offers us his friendship. I love those people who love me, but I push away the one that made them and that gave them the capacity to love me. Isn't there a part of all of us that push a bit of God away? Well, God has made his existence abundantly clear in Jesus, claims John. We say, well, why doesn't God reveal himself to us? And John says, he did. What a gift. The certainty of knowing that God exists and that he's intimately interested in this world. That he hasn't kept himself distant from it, that he's come amongst us. That life on this planet is not the result of a freak cataclysmic explosion. That you're not just a blob of protoplasm wrapped around an appetite. What a gift to unwrap this Christmas time. Christmas begins to answer the question, how do you know God exists? And the second question, what is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of life? Have a look with me at verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. It's almost the start of the party season, isn't it? Building up to Christmas. I don't know about you, but in your family circle or in your work circle, is there always somebody at those parties who's kind of the light and the soul of the party? That kind of either the person that you're really annoyed by because they take the attention, or that you actually look forward to going to that party because you get a chance to experience time with them. You look forward to it. You're the kind of person who really makes the party rock. Well, Jesus, says John, Jesus is the light and soul of the party. That's what he's saying. He's the light and soul of life. Which is a huge surprise for most people. Perceptions about Christianity, whether they be from the TV series Rev, or long-held perceptions, or the experience of church in the past, that Christianity is just dull. That church is dull and uninteresting, and that Christian life is lifeless. But later in John's Gospel, Jesus says, I have come that you may have life, life to the full, abundant life. He's come to give you the time of your life. Because John called Jesus the Word, the Creator, the logic behind life. Jesus is the central character of the universe. He's what life is all about. This is the claim. This is the claim of John. This is the claim of Christmas. Cut him out of life, and life simply doesn't work. It doesn't make sense. There's a new film coming out this Christmas. Johnny English Reborn. I don't know if you're a fan of the Johnny English films. You've probably never seen them. He's a kind of mock superhero. But imagine Johnny English Reborn. Who is it? Is it Mr. Bean who plays that role? Yeah, it is. It's not Mr. Bean. It's Rowan Atkinson. Imagine this film about Johnny English, the British super intelligence hero, or kind of anti-hero, really. Imagine watching the film with the character removed, with no Johnny English in it. Some scenes would still work, no doubt. But most of the film would be ridiculous. Well, as if the film wasn't ridiculous anyway. But you get the point. Take him out of the storyline and it won't make any sense. But that's how it is doing life without Jesus. Some scenes work, but most of it you can't make sense of. That you may enjoy it, but you can't really understand it and make sense of it. Because he is what life is all about. The universe revolves around him. I think so many people know that feeling, that life doesn't seem to make sense. Not that they are desperately unhappy or at rock bottom. Maybe they're just going through life quite successfully, yet unable to make sense of it. What's it really about? And to some extent, there's an agony, a kind of rushing around, trying to make sense of life, building relationships, building work, materialism, searching for answers. And of course, the real shame is that if the right direction is never looked in, if people never investigate the main character, the one who God describes in verse 5 as the light of the world. John's point here introducing Jesus is he's the one who sheds light on the big questions of life. Do I matter? Why am I here? What is life all about? Is there right and wrong? What happens when I die? Is there meaning to life? Understanding what life is about is wonderful. And Jesus gives that. What a gift. Knowing what life is all about. Knowing where you fit in. What a great hope that we have to offer to people this Christmas time. To invite people along to come and hear more about Jesus. To share more of our experience with Jesus with them ourselves. Maybe you have a sense of that search in your own heart. Wouldn't it be great to make sense of life here on this planet this Christmas time? Well, to do so, you're bound to ask the third question. Why is this world in such a mess? Why is this world in such a mess? Poignant today, as we remember. It's a very important question. And verse 5 is the crucial verse that helps us to understand this. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There's a darkness in the world, isn't there? I don't need to tell you that relationships break down, kids get abused, people die. We feel guilty. Terrorists blow people up. Industrialists pollute our world. I could go on. And what is the root cause of that darkness in the world? Well, John would say to us, it's because we live in God's world, but ignore the God who made the world that we live in. I don't know if you've heard the story of Jesse Owens, the great black athlete from Atlanta who humbled Hitler's athletes in the Berlin Olympics in 1936. I think there was a film made about it recently. I didn't see it though. He won gold after gold in the sprints and in the long jump. And in the film, you see Hitler kind of storming out of the stadium rather than shake the hand of the black man who had beaten his Aryan athletes. Well, after the Olympics, Jesse Owens returns to Atlanta, his hometown, and there's a huge civic celebration in his honour. After all, he had put Atlanta on the map. And at this dinner, Owens is the guest of honour. And he's presented with his award. He's applauded. And then he's sent out of the room. Because the civic leaders of Atlanta didn't want to be seen to be breaking social convention and eat dinner with a black man. Ironic. The guest of honour, the one responsible for the whole celebration, he gets sent away. Well, that outrages us, doesn't it, in this day and age, to hear of that. But isn't there a sense in which we do that all the time? John is telling us that what is it that we do when God comes along, when he comes into this world as the light of the world? He says, well, first of all, that we will not understand it. And indeed, we'll try to get him off the planet as quick as possible and out of our lives. Brighton's Passion is returning again this Easter. It caused some controversy last year to see a man strung up to die on Brighton's seafront, in the middle of our happy seafront. The graphic nature of the rejection of light, that we're guilty in history of killing this good man. He's more than a man. He's God. But verse 5 is very important, isn't it? It's true. The light that shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it or overcome it. Yes, we tried to put out the light by killing him on a cross, but Jesus rose from the dead. Isn't that wonderful? The darkness can't extinguish this light. This light isn't a candle in the wind that can be snuffed out. This light is Jesus, the creator of the world. The meaning of life? Well, we can't get rid of him. Not by our actions or by our unbelief. So as we close on our first investigation of John 1, we're being told here that God himself has punched a hole in the roof of the world and climbed in to meet us, to show us that God exists, to show us the meaning of life, and to deal with the mess of our lives. John says Jesus is the creator, verse 3, that in him there is life, verse 4, that this light shines in our darkness of our world and overcomes it. So if you know him, if you serve him, he will fill up your mind and fill up your heart and fill up your senses and tell you what life is for. And that is the great excitement of the Christian life, the Christian journey. And we note that the Word, Jesus is the Word, right back at the start. He's not a set of ideas or words, but he's a person. A person to be known, a person to be served, a person to be loved and encountered, a person who offers friendship. I wonder if you remember your old English classes back at school, maybe at poetry class, and your teacher says, children, what does this poem mean? And you get a whole wide variety of different answers from everybody. And however wild an opinion is put forward, it really doesn't matter. Because each voice has their own authority in interpreting the poem. You can say exactly what you like. It can mean anything. But what if the author of that poem stepped into the classroom and says, actually, I wrote this 20 years ago, and this is what I meant by it. Well, that would stop the discussions, wouldn't it? Because the author had spoken. He has authority. And this is what we get in Jesus, isn't it? The Word has come. He has spoken with authority. He has come, the author of life, to give us life. He's come to bring light into our existence. And so that fourth question, how can I know God? That's something that we'll be exploring as we go on through this series. Because, well, that's what John the Baptist came to testify about in verses 6 to 9. He came to speak about who Jesus would be, the light of the world. And verse 9, this true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. We have a chance to get to know God as we explore in his gospel. In the autobiography of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, perhaps the greatest preacher of the 20th century. He was a brilliant young doctor before he became a pastor. He went to medical school when he was 16. He had consulting rooms in Harley Street when he was 25. And there was a key moment in his life, a transformational moment that caused him to go from being a doctor to a preacher. And it occurred when the consultant he most admired at Barts Hospital, who achieved all that he thought possible to aspire to, one day, this great consultant knocked at his door, at the door of his research room at Barts. And this consultant had been in love with a woman and hardly had any warning before she had died quite suddenly. And he came and he sat motionless for 2 hours, just staring into the fire, staring into space. And Lloyd-Jones wrote, "As I watched my hero, my role model, staring into the fire, I realized he had no answers to the important questions." And Jesus comes to give us the answers to the important questions. What am I doing in my life? What am I here for? And I'm saying that if we try to manufacture some other answer than the one that Jesus gives us, well, we're going to end up for sure staring into the fire. Because this is his word, and this is his world, and he's spoken to us. Let me just conclude with two applications. I think that here this morning, there are quite a lot of people who believe everything that I've said, or nearly everything that I've said. You've believed for a long time that Jesus Christ is the reason behind your life and all existence. But he's not at the centre of your daily experience, perhaps. You've got other words that drive you day by day, if you're honest. What is it that drives your thoughts? What is it that gets you out of bed in the morning? Maybe it's not him. As a result, I think, and to some extent that's all of us who are Christians, to some extent we'd be missing out on the meaning of verse 4. We won't truly know what verse 4 means without Jesus at the centre. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. Many people call themselves Christians, but don't know what it means to be filled with the light of Jesus. He doesn't have his rightful place at the heart. And until you make him the reason that you get up, and put him at the centre, which is where he should be, because he gives you every breath, you'll go through life and never know really what you're made for. You'll go through life and you'll never know. Well, don't let this Christmas pass without making him at the centre of your life. And maybe there are others here who are fascinated by this person, Jesus, but don't yet believe it, don't believe what it says about him. Well, would you come back over the Christmas period and keep listening? This could be a life-changing Christmas for you. We're going to keep reading through John's introduction and discover Jesus Christ as he walks off the pages of Scripture, the Word, the light of life. We're going to find out whether it's true that he came to offer friendship with God. Could that be true? And you know that if you reach out to him, he will hear you. He will come to you. He will meet you. He will do that. He punched through the ceiling of this world to meet you. You never need to end up staring into the fire. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you that you so loved the world that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, who is God, who is life, who is light, who is the creator, into this world, that we might become your friends. And Lord God, I pray that we would appreciate the divinity of Jesus and the wonder of who he is. And Father, I pray that for each of us, that this would be a time of growing closer to him as we approach Christmas and putting him at the center of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.